Because these are juveniles that we're talking to, one of the definitions was accessing pornography online, because as juveniles, that's always an illegal action. The second action that we used, and probably the most prevalent, was using pirated software or media and downloading those and distributing those to others. The third definition that we used was basically forms of hacking, ways to get into other people's accounts, perpetrate as them, that sort of thing. And finally, what we call cyber trespass, the idea of them just going into websites they're not supposed to be in, looking around, and then leaving.
And one of your conclusions was that peer pressure plays a major part in this. How is the peer pressure applied?
The kids that are most likely to engage in cybercrime also have friends that are most likely to engage in cybercrime. They also have, in many cases, skills that are required that you and I may not have. For example, I can't get into EKU's banner system with my user ID and password. I'd have no idea how to get into it from some other setting. And so they learn these skills from their deviant peers who help them engage in this crime.
So the motivation must be to impress their peers.
It's often to impress their peers, but we also talk about the idea of low self-control, because one of the theories we also tested was low self-control. And what we found is those kids with the lowest forms of self-control are more likely to seek out those deviant peers. And the combination of deviant peers and low self-control is a very criminal combination.
So they probably get more satisfaction from actually accessing and downloading the movie than actually watching the movie itself.
Absolutely.
Does it change as they get older, these deviant behaviors?
What we found was that, yes, it does, that juniors and seniors in high school were less likely than sophomore and freshmen to engage in these forms of behavior. And there are other factors that play into it as well. Access to a computer in a private space also led them to engage in more cybercrime, as one of the things that most of the internet safety folks tell parents is that their children should be monitored by the parents, and that while the Net Nanny and other softwares are designed to help, an active parent control is by far the best deterrent to this sort of thing.
And there's a generation gap there. You and I didn't grow up with computers, at least as closely as young people today do.
Oh, absolutely.
So we have to struggle to understand what they might be up to.
And whenever we have a technology problem, we always go to the younger generation and say, hey, how do I fix this? And because they are more apt, more adept, and more intelligent in the cyber world, they're going to be more efficient at it.
And the law, it has to evolve, too. Like you said, this is a relatively new crime. We're not exactly sure how judges should react to these kinds of crimes.
And we're in the very early stages of that whole discussion. Things that are criminal now weren't criminal 10 years ago because we didn't even know they existed. And we will continue to discover these things.
And one thing, though, that sounds very familiar to me is, I mean, they've been talking about for decades, generations, kids falling in with the wrong crowd and committing misdeeds. We're seeing that again, but we're seeing it online here. That's something we've seen in human behavior before.
Oh, absolutely. And it seems intuitive to anybody that's considering it, but the research is supporting this as well.
Dr. May, thanks for your time.
You're very welcome.
Dr. David May is a professor of criminal justice at Eastern Kentucky University. For WEKU, I'm Charles Compton.